This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 9C, Virus. Now, Virus, this is our tribute to the Seattle Seahawks, the Pacific Northwest cities. Finest player, Brian Bosworth. He was an action staple of the 80s, very briefly. He was a very, very highly regarded college football player, and he was given an unprecedented
$11 million
rookie contract.
And highest contract in NFL history at the time.
Yeah. He proceeded to just stink out the joint, and in three short seasons, he was done with the NFL. Mm-hmm. And despite his Brock Lesnar hairdo, and muscles, and bad sunglasses. That was it, and he ventured upon an action movie career thereafter to try and cash in on his very fleeting football fame.
Right.
So, Virus.
Okay, I gotta say,
Where to begin?
I mean, we just literally turned off Virus about 30 seconds ago, Chris, and I really don't even know what the fuck I just saw. Like, this was, what was this movie all about? Like, honestly.
Well, I guess I got to preface this by saying I love biohazard movies.
Right.
And any time there's a virus outbreak, there's the tension between the government who tries to quarantine the public and the public trying to escape from the virus. And that tension creates something that's generally very fraught with action and
tension.
Breakdown
of social order.
Yeah, breakdown of social order. You don't know who to believe. You don't know whether you should trust the government. All this stuff. These are great themes. And they tend to be very gory, too. People are afflicted by the virus,
they tend to break out and ooze and bleed. Yeah.
This movie has none of that.
This movie has nothing, okay? I mean, honestly, this is like, without a word of hyperbole, this has got to be one of the cheapest looking movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
It looks like a corporate instructional video.
It sort of does.
Microsoft Excel.
Well, Windows 95, how about that? Yeah. You know? I mean, look, it's a sort of cliche nowadays to say, well, you know, I've seen porno movies with better production values. I mean, porno movies have gotten pretty...
pretty sleek.
They have. I mean, I've seen infomercials with better production values. I've seen home movies with better production values. This movie...
Yeah, you'd think someone's going to break out a blender and demonstrate it. This is cheap.
And if you call in the next 10 minutes, and only the next 10 minutes, you know, you'll get Brian Bosworth. Oh, my God. This was...
And I guess we should say this was lensed in Algonquin Park.
Right.
And that is a provincial park, I guess, 3 hours north of Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
A couple
mm-hmm.
hours north of Toronto.
Right.
So it's a giant provincial park. And it was partly also filmed in Toronto.
Toronto
was substituting New York very unconvincingly.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, like, you know, it's so funny how, like, they'll throw, like, a USA Today box on the street, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, yeah, it's New York, but they'll forget about, like, the Ontario license plates.
They'll forget about the 60 kilometer per hour speed limits.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they don't, you know, forget about that.
And, of course, Algonquin Park substituting for Camp David, you know?
Yeah, David, Maryland. And I guess we should summarize the plot, which is just like your standard virus flick where there's this nefarious government plot.
Except most virus flicks are good.
Yeah. this virus, I guess, is let loose, and the only person to stop it is...
The boss.
Brian Bosworth, again, Seattle Seahawk marginal talent. Mm. He plays a Secret Service agent whose name is Ken Fairchild.
Ex-football player.
He's surprisingly an ex-football player who played for Oklahoma. Mm. Who would have thought they would cast him in such a role? Incredible. It's almost like someone wrote the script just for him.
You think they did?
I think they did.
Yeah, so Ken Fairchild is his name.
Yeah.
And
he's got a headset. He's a Secret Service guy. He knows how to kick butt. He's a football player. He gets consistently asked for his autograph by little kids. Mm-hmm, hey, aren't you that guy? No, I'm not, kid. And, but then they find out he is. Anyway, he's meant to protect the, I guess, corrupt president and his henchmen who have developed this virus. That's basically the gist of this.
Yeah, thing. I mean, basically the virus was developed for some sort of like secret germ warfare project in the military, and in the most like lax security measures ever, they give it to some sort of a pill popping trucker
yeah, to transport
to transport this this lethal virus from like point A to point B. I don't even know where the fuck they're going, but I mean. You know, along the way,
his truck blows up, stock footage.
Right. Well, I mean, don't forget the gorge at varying depths. I mean, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, his truck nearly falls into a gorge of, as we said, varying depths. At some points, from depending what angle it is, it's 20 feet deep. At other times, it's 500 feet deep.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this trucker manages to escape the clutches of peril here and falling into the gorge. And Brian Bosworth's character has to find out how he came by this virus and save the day.
Well, yeah, and I mean, of course, we have to, he's not alone in this quest.
No,
I mean,
he meets a veterinarian in the woods. He's a horseback riding veterinarian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and basically, he's like sinking in the mud, which is not even quicksand, just mud. And all of a sudden, we see this woman astride a horse, and she lassos him out of the mud. And this is the veterinarian.
Who later performs a tracheotomy, because veterinary...
Using a pen, of course.
Using a pen, of course. Yep. Veterinary medicine is identical to human medicine, so you can... The same procedures you would use on a gerbil, just for transferable to a human victim.
Right,
so
right.
So then this trio has to, of course, warn
duo.
People.
Hmm? Duo.
Duo. Well, I'm including the trucker.
They're
on the run, and they enlist the help of a local park ranger who tries to get the word out, but unfortunately succumbs to this virus.
Right, right.
And we should say something about this virus.
We have to talk about the virus, because...
This is the least effectual virus we've ever seen. As we said, Outbreak, Ebola, some of the other viruses?
Well, the Ebola syndrome.
The crazies. Ebola syndrome.
Yeah,
tons of these movies were an outbreak. Contagion, yeah, where, really disgusting things happen. Yeah. This virus is fairly benign. It causes...
Fairly benign.
Nosebleed.
Bloody nosebleed, man. Like, all you need is a tissue, and you're
it causes the sniffles?
Yeah, exactly. You got the foreshadowing of the sniffle, then you got the nosebleed, and all of a sudden you're succumbing to this deadly virus.
And just nothing graphic whatsoever.
None.
I think this virus claims all the four people
exactly,
in the whole movie.
Exactly. Like, I mean, most of the time we have these virus outbreak movies, you've got
hundreds of people
that are just basically like succumbing to all sorts of symptoms.
Yeah, chaos, and the government's called in, the army's called in, the helicopters, the army has to corral people, put them into quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
This movie features...
Two people,
and the cheapest quarantine... biohazard tents imaginable. It looks like it was created from scratch at a Saran wrap.
Honestly, I've seen Holiday Inn lobbies that are more secure than this quarantine. Like,
people break in and out of the quarantine. Through the Saran wrap, as if it's just nothing like keeping this virus from people. So this is a piece of work. But I guess we should also mention just how bloody dull this thing is.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it just stretches of inactivity, punctuated by the occasional subpar gun battle.
Yeah,
the boss throwing the odd wrestling clothesline and tackling and throwing someone into a nearby tree. Mm-hmm. And there's a very confusing subplot involving geysers.
Well, don't forget, I mean, how they know the virus is spreading is because
they saw two dead fish. And if you see dead fish, you automatically ascribe the cause to some weird nefarious virus.
Yeah, exactly. And later on, Brian Bosworth comes across a lake where the fish are swimming ever so joyfully alive.
Yeah.
And he surmises that somehow, because this is warm water as opposed to the other one, which was cold water, that if they boil the river...
Yeah, they boil the river, they somehow, I guess, kill the virus?
Yeah.
That's because if the virus is waterborne...
Or some shit like that.
Just, who the hell knew?
This is just... I mean, honestly, like... So yeah, there's some sort of geyser involved, and I mean...
Yeah. Some sort of Old Faithful. And yeah. I guess we should also say there's one of the... there's also a corny subplot involving the air quotes New York Tribune, which is the least effective knockoff of the New York Times you can imagine in this gray third-rate office space with all of like three reporters working for it.
Yeah.
And the one guy is like a hard-bitten
gruff reporter.
And
we know that because he's constantly like chewing on a cigar, right? And wearing a trench coat.
He's like a poor man's Humphrey Bogart, like, and he's chewing on a stogie. Yeah. Like, yeah, Columbo. His name is Burns, and he's the guy that tries to get to the bottom of this, and he's got leads. He knows the government is involved in this plot. He, of course, tries to thwart it and get more information, mm-hmm. but the government is on to him, and they shoot him and kill him in the most ludicrous fashion.
He did like pirouettes.
And he looked like Saul Rubinek, the character actor known for, I guess, to most from his work on Frasier.
But here in Canada, he's a bit of a
presence in a lot of Canadian films. He just goes pirouetting through the air with a triple sow cow.
And it's funny because, I mean, this film was lensed in Canada, and the thing is, Saul Rubinek, I mean, the guy is pretty ubiquitous in Canadian film.
Yeah.
They could have got Saul Rubinek. Instead they got a Rubinesque, for lack of a better term, actor.
Yeah, he would have come cheap, too, so it's not like they wouldn't need to blow the budget on the guy.
No, not at all. But maybe Saul Rubinek couldn't do the pirouettes, so...
So on our scale of...
Oh, but before we say that, I just want to say, like, I mean, from the sounds of things, I mean, we're probably making this film sound way more interesting than it really is.
Yeah, thoroughly uninteresting.
I mean, this is like somnambulistic, man. This is a dull, dull movie. I mean, if you want a cure for insomnia...
Yeah, do not operate, the cliché, your heavy machinery. And speaking of clichés, they also trot out at the very last frame the cliche of the news headline.
Yeah.
Describing everything like, virus breaks out. That's usually done to forward a plot, not to bookend a movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on our
What about like the Secret Service and the President just allowing Ken Fairchild, our hero,
Bosworth, to just walk away with incriminating evidence against the government?
Basically,
it would take down the whole regime.
The whole U.S.,
bring down the government. And they just basically let the guy walk.
Yeah. Which he does.
So,
what did you learn from this movie, Chris?
I learned that security detail for the U.S. president is pretty lax.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean,
it's got about like five guys with headsets.
Yeah, I mean, my mind
some abandoned place in the woods that they're supposed to be holding some sort of UN-type conference mm-hmm. with the Prime Minister of the U.K., who's supposed to be there, and all these other world leaders. Meanwhile, the thing is attended by about 10 journalists in total, and about, Secret Service, personnel to match, and maybe the odd, hanger-on here and there. The most poorly attended press conference you will ever imagine. So, yeah, that's what did you learn?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I think I was asleep more than I was awake for this thing. So
I learned that when a virus breaks out, there's absolutely no... sense of urgency.
Well, there's that. Yeah. I learned the next time I have a bit of a sniffle and a nosebleed, I should maybe head to the local CDC because I might be afflicted by some.
You also learned that your average vet, when they're not putting down a goldfish or a gerbil, they can do tracheotomies and life-saving surgeries. It's pretty incredible.
With a ballpoint pen. Yeah. So I guess there is a bit to learn from this movie.
The pen is mightier than the sword. I guess.
Indeed. Yeah. And the boss is mightier than the
mightier than Howie Long or at least. Other shitty pro athletes who become actors?
Anyway, I wouldn't go that far, but anyway.
Okay, kudos to the boss and congratulations, The guy made himself something of himself after this complete flame out of a career.
Just
3 years of just crap for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I guess I would give this, I would say, half a star. I don't know if I want to be charitable and I want to maybe two tops.
Yeah.
Because it's worth seeing just to. See an inappropriately dressed sort of, ex-football player just traipsing around British Columbia / Ontario / what's supposed to be Iowa / Maryland / New York City. None of these places, even remotely appearing to be as they are. So, yeah, two, 1.5 stars.
Well, yeah, I'm giving this this is getting a star. Okay. Single star for me, honestly.
As Boz's star continues to fade.
Exactly.
Anyway, for more, check out www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.